I want to talk to you today about cherophobia, the fear of happiness. How many of you are afraid of being happy? Somebody's thinking, I'm not sure that actually ever happened to me. Actually, it probably did happen to you. It's happened to some of us at different times for different reasons, probably on a low-grade level, but there literally is a fear of happiness out there that some people have. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. So I know a lot of happy heathens. Yes, but that's because God's everywhere. If God went completely away, all happiness would disappear. You may not have ever thought about it like that. But that's an important thing to figure out and to understand. You gotta have God to have happiness. Cherophobia is described as the extreme and irrational fear of gaiety or happiness. And those who have this phobia aren't always sad necessarily, but they tend to be a little bit afraid to get too excited about anything because you never know what's going to happen. Have you ever heard the phrase, the other shoe is about to drop? Yeah, I studied that out, by the way. It came from New York. It's a New York City thing. Some of the tenant homes were so thinly floored and thinly walled that when someone walked in upstairs above you, you could hear them walking, and then you'd hear them as they were getting into bed, and one shoe would drop, and then you were waiting on the other shoe to drop. But we've turned it into kind of a, you know, oh, what's going to happen next kind of thing. And a lot of people are afraid of what's going to happen next because maybe in their lives they've been disappointed. Anybody besides me in this room ever been disappointed? Yeah, all of us. And so sometimes when we have experienced a disappointment, then we start to kind of build protections from disappointment. And if you aren't too happy, then you won't ever be too disappointed. See how that works? Kind of tricky. I know a pastor who once was prayed for a foreboding spirit. He didn't even know he had a foreboding spirit. But he did realize after someone prayed against a foreboding spirit that he stopped being as negative. And he started being more excited about things and started expecting things to go well and started being happy when things went well when before he hadn't been able to. So some people are literally so afraid of disappointment that they will derail their happiness to some extent to make sure they don't get disappointed. Have you ever known anybody to do that? I have. And it's kind of weird to see it happen. It's like, you could be happy, but you don't know what's coming. Okay, good enough today, but, I've even seen people sabotage the happiness of others and of their own family members just to make sure that they don't get hurt. Because, if they're too happy, then when the other shoe falls, that's when they're going to get really hurt. So we'll just keep them down here where they won't be too happy. Have you ever sabotaged your happiness out of fear? It happens with some people more than others. And again, it depends on sometimes how many really strong, crazy, harmful events have happened in your life. There's a sozo for that. We do that ministry here. And there is a lot written about this, by the way, and not just in Christian circles. The fear of happiness is a very big deal in lots of people in the world. And so you Google it, you'll find all sorts of stuff on the fear of happiness, cherophobia. And I know some Christians who have cherophobia, and I think it's because they are concerned that they might, you can't be too happy here. Be careful about being too happy. Because, you got to be sober-minded. Got to keep yourself in the right frame of mind. And I've even heard some Christians complain and say, happiness is one thing, because I've heard it said this way. Happiness depends on happenstance.
But the joy of the Lord is deep.
Well, okay, but if you have the joy of the Lord and you're not happy, I don't think that's working very good, because the happenstance is you've got him. You ought to be happy. Just saying. And so sometimes we don't want to pursue happiness because we think we've got to pursue, I don't know, pruneness, sourness. I don't know what they're looking for.
I've got to stay sober-minded.
You can be sober-minded, and that means thinking clearly and still be happy. You can. But it is interesting that among American Christians, sometimes there are those that hold back and don't want to pursue happiness. And yet, what did our Declaration of Independence say? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think our founding fathers were right about that. I think we should be allowed to pursue happiness. I think it's a good thing to pursue. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about God's plan for your happiness. Do you know God wants you happy? Do you know, let's put it this way, let's ask this question. Do you know that God wants to bless you? This is yes. And he wants you to live a blessed life. So if God wants you to live a blessed life, let me ask you this. Is it okay for you not to be blessed? Now, wait a minute. Think about that a second. God wants to bless me, and he wants me to have a blessed life. Now, if I don't feel blessed, that's one thing. But what if I am blessed and I just don't recognize it? And then because I'm not blessed, I'm not responding to that blessing in a way that is honoring to God. So again, is it okay for you not to be blessed if God wants you blessed? I'd say the answer to that has to be no. But you know, this word blessed is the same word that we translate happiness. And a lot of people don't know that. So let me ask it this way. Is it okay for you not to be happy if God wants you happy? What? It's a sin. What? You realize if the target is happy and God wants you happy and you don't want to be happy, then you're in sin. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way before.
Well, I can't help it. I just don't feel happy.
What if you could?
Well, I'm not supposed to feel happy.
Why not? I'm going to give you some reasons not to be happy maybe a little bit later, and then you're going to find out they're not reasons to not be happy. That should make you happy, but I don't know if you will be or not. Because some people really are happiest when they're having a pity party. Have you ever met those kind of folks? I've been those kind of folks. As a little kid, my dad would try to make me smile after something went sideways, and I've done that to my grandkids and my kids too.
Just leave me alone. I want my misery right now.
Yeah. In the New Testament, the word translated blessed literally translates happy. So I have a question for you. Are you happy? Have you been happy all day? Have you been happy all week? Have you been happy all month? Have you been happy all year? Oh, you're asking too much of me. Let me say one little disclaimer here as I go through this today. I'm probably not going to cover this whole chapter from my book as thoroughly as my book covers it. And I wrote the longest chapter of my book on the fear of happiness because I had to put in a lot of scripture. And I had to put in a lot of scripture because there are a lot of Christians who don't want to be happy. Don't ruin it for me. I'm being sober-minded. I'm being serious. You're not serious enough. So if you don't get it all, you know, if you're watching by Facebook and you don't get it all right now, or if you watch this later on YouTube, or if you listen to it later on our podcast and you're not getting it all, it's just go to the book. It's chapter 7, Got No Phobia. If you don't have a book and you really want one and you can't find any other way to get it, get a hold of me. I'll get you one. And the question is, can anybody be happy all the time? Most of us know people who seem to be happy most of the time, and some of those people, we call them happy-go-lucky. Have you ever met a happy-go-lucky person that just seem to be happy all the time? Yeah. But I don't really think luck has a lot to do with it. My personal experiences, while I'm not able to say that I've been happy all the time, is I've been happy a lot of the time. And I'm learning to allow myself to be happy. Because sometimes you don't feel like you can. I do think being unhappy is overrated. I really do. I think being unhappy is, I don't know. I try to avoid being unhappy because, well, it makes me, I don't know, it makes me unhappy. So, so I try not to do that. Most of you know when I, you know, somebody says, have a nice day in line at the store, what do I say? Unavoidable. And usually it makes them smile. Sometimes they look at me like I'm a little crazy. I've had that happen a few times, but as was sung in a song by Billy Joel once upon a time, you may be right, I may be crazy, but I just might be the lunatic you're looking for. The pursuit of happiness is a big deal. Now, some Christians don't want to be happy because they're afraid that if they get too happy, it'll be like, if it feels good, do it. Okay, I don't want you to be like, if it feels good, do it. But let me suggest something else. There's a funny thing that happens. There are a lot of Christians who, if it feels good, do it, sounds like a sin to them. And sometimes you do, if you think it's going to feel good. And in the long run, it hurts a lot. But if it feels good, do it is not a good plan. But by the way, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. It's not a good plan either. And I know a lot of people who, if it doesn't feel good, they're just not going to do it. And yet sometimes the things that initially don't seem like they're going to feel good end up making us feel really good. Here's one for you. I hate this one, but I do it because it makes me feel really good. Here we go. You ready? One word. Exercise. I know, but if you do it, it makes you feel good. Just not when you're sweating, maybe, but a little later. It can feel good. Oh, there's so much that I could say. You'll have to read the chapter. Biggest chapter in my book. So listen to this scripture from Matthew 24, verses 45 through 47. And again, I'm going to hit a lot of scripture. And I didn't tell you to turn to one in particular. So if you want to take notes, that's a good idea. Or you can turn to Matthew if you can turn real quick. And some of you have those little things where you click, 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 and you can go. And once you get it open, it'll be easier to follow me. So Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Happy is that servant whom his master, when he comes, finds him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. When I read that, I put in the word happy for the word blessed. But that's the same word, makarios, in the original language. Pursuing happiness requires us doing something. Pursuing requires doing. You're not going to get something doing nothing. So if I want to pursue happiness, that means there has to be some intentionality about what I'm doing. Knowing that what I'm doing is leading in to a way for God to bless me or make me happy. In the original language, the makarios word was used a lot by not just Christians. Actually, it was used more by non-Christians. And when you read about non-Christian results, you find some amazing things about being happy. We're going to get to that in a second, but Paul even said that we would be blessed in doing. Blessed in doing. Let me read you another verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. We do what we do as unto the Lord to receive our inheritance. And while it's true that we're not saved by works, our inheritance, that is something that we didn't work for, that is given to us, something that we couldn't have earned, that someone else worked for and passed on to us, our inheritance is accessed as we serve others. Doing. So I'm not trying to say, just do what makes you happy. But I am saying you should do what you do, and the result, if you do what you do as unto the Lord, will be that you become happy. Look at your neighbor and say, you can use more happiness. I have learned in my life that sometimes the doing of something can be the thing that makes you happy, even if it doesn't yield what you thought it would. My Uncle Mike and I were on the lake one night, and we came off the lake in the late afternoon, early evening, and somebody else was just getting ready to go out, and we had to get off the lake, and we had to go do some stuff, and we had been fishing, and the guy looked at my Uncle Mike, and he goes, "How was the fishing today?" And Mike said, "It was wonderful." And the man said, "How many did you caught?" And Uncle Mike said, "None." And the man said, "Well, then how was the fishing good?" He says, "You didn't ask me if the catching was good. You asked me if the fishing was good." I have been on the bank before thinking to myself, "I hope nothing bites." Because I was just enjoying. It's like the wind was blowing through the trees and the rustle of the leaves and the gurgling creek in front of me. And it was just like, yeah, who cares whether the fish bite or not? It's just good to be out here. You know, sometimes just doing good for others. At first you think, I don't want to have to serve them. But then you start serving and there's something about it that it carries a reward. A reward that's sometimes instantaneous. And sometimes it comes later. Listen to this scripture from Luke. "But he," Jesus, "said, more than that, but blessed are those," or happy are those, "who hear the word of God and keep it." Happiness comes as we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Even though sometimes while we're doing it, we can't see the end. We don't know the full result. But we just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. So when Jesus, for example, washed the disciples' feet, he told them that they ought to wash one another's feet. Now, in a day when people wore sandals everywhere, and they walked in streets that were walked by a whole lot of other people, and were traveled by a whole lot of critters who didn't, you know, wait and run over to the porta potty, the streets were pretty rough. And Jesus takes his disciples in, and he begins to wash their feet. It was a dirty job. And while he was doing that, he said to his disciples, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." I don't think Jesus went, "Well, boy, here we go. Okay, Father, got to show these guys how it's done. All right, give me your stinky feet." I think with a big smile on his face, he went and he began to wash their feet. And it weirded him out. But I think he was happy the whole time he was doing it. Not that it was an easy job. Not that it wasn't a stinky job. But he just loved serving. In Acts chapter 20, we read these words, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Oh, let's read it with the other translation. "It is more happy to give than to receive." Wow. Think about that for a second. You know, there are all sorts of people, and I document that in my book, that are doing studies on this happiness thing, and they found out that doing things for others really begins to yield an incredible happiness that you just can't get any other way. So universities are actually studying and finding out that the words of Jesus are true. Isn't that interesting? That you get happier by giving than you do by receiving. And it's been proven. I experienced this at Christmas. I experience it at Christmas more now than I ever have. I loved giving presents to our kids. It's even more fun to give presents to your grandkids. Don't ask me why. I don't really know. There's just something about grandkids and watching them. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. Now, how many of you remember when Christmas was more about you than it was anybody else? When you were really little, right? Like, what do you mean? He got 5 presents and I only got 4. We spent twice as much on you. It doesn't matter. Right? Or you just love your kids because they, you know, they open up the toy, they pull it out of the box, they throw the toy aside, they play with the box. But seriously, as you start to get older, you start to look forward to Christmas. Because why? You're looking for what you're going to get? No. You get more excited about Christmas as you get older because of what you get to give. And I've even begun to do something on my birthday that I heard somebody else was doing, and I liked the idea, so I started trying to do it. And I'm going to get better at it because it's just something I've done only the last couple years, and I don't think I did a good job this last year. Year before last, I did a good job. I like now for my birthday to give kids presents. That's what I like to do. It's my birthday. What do you want? I want to give you something. Wouldn't that be a cool thing to all, you know, just put the emphasis away from me and put the emphasis, but what do I need at this point? I don't have anything that I really want, except that Maserati, and nobody can afford that. I don't want a Maserati. I really don't. But I do love giving, and there is something about giving that makes me really, really, really happy. So see, sometimes when I find I'm not very happy right now, maybe the problem is that I've been focused on what is coming my direction instead of what is going out from me. Wow. Because Jesus said, I'll be happier if I'm giving than I will be if I'm receiving. And Jesus was right. The universities are proving it. Wow, that's kind of crazy. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if everyone is a hearer, or if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one is happy in what he does. See, you look through the Bible, and every time you see the word blessed, you start to change it to happy, and you start to get some real interesting things. I want to be happy in what I do. And when I'm not happy, maybe it's because I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to do. To increase the amount of blessing I experience in my life, I simply need to increase the amount of blessing that I give others. Let me say that again. To increase the amount of blessing I experience in my life, I simply need to increase the amount of blessing that I give to others, which just goes back to an old guy with a big nose back in the 1900s named Jimmy Durante, who I remember singing, make someone happy, just make one someone happy, and then you will be happy too. Next time you're not feeling happy, look around. Go find someone and make them happy. And your happiness, your blessing will arrive. So let me ask some questions. Am I attempting to bless the Lord, or am I attempting to be blessed when I come to church? Whoops. When it comes to blessing God, is my attitude, if it feels good, I'll do it, but if it doesn't feel good, I won't do it? I don't know why those people have to do all that stuff and get all excited. Because it's in the Bible, I don't know. The Lord says, lift your hands and shout. Well, I can't dance. Well, I can't either, but I can wiggle. You may not have skill when it comes to that, but you can still try to make the Lord happy. And by the way, some of you, he'd be laughing hilariously if you tried. But nevertheless, by the way, the rest of us might too. But nevertheless, we'd be happy. The Lord would be happy. You didn't think about it that way. Well, I don't know. If it doesn't feel good, I won't do it. That is the same as if it feels good, do it. It's the same thing. If I'm not in the mood, do I hold my blessing back? Do I lose my blessing? Read happiness. When someone sits in my favorite seat? Whoops. Am I asking too many questions properly? Properly? Did I say that? That's a new word. I created a new word. Properly. This made somebody happy. I heard them laughing. Jesus tells us to be happy at the oddest times. So let me just read you a few of those times. And I'm going to read this from one of my favorite Bible translations, which a lot of people aren't familiar with, but I have known about this for years, and I will go to it a lot of times. Even though it has a King James flair to it, I will go to it because it is a translation that is very, very, very old, and I just like it. And it's called Young's Literal Translation. So here we go, chapter 5 of Matthew. And having seen the multitudes, he went up to the mount, and having sat down, his disciples came to him, and having opened his mouth, he was teaching them, saying, this is straight from the translation here, happy the poor in spirit, because theirs is the reign of heavens. Happy the mourning, because they shall be comforted. Happy the meek, because they shall inherit the land. Happy those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because they shall be filled. Happy the kind, because they shall find kindness. Happy the clean in heart, because they shall see God. Happy the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Happy those persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs is the reign of heaven. Happy are ye whenever they may reproach you, they may persecute, they may say any evil thing against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice ye and be glad, because your reward is great in the heavens, for thus they did persecute the prophets who were before you. This is the Beatitudes. We know them as the Beatitudes. Some of us memorized them when we were kids, and we said, blessed, 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 blessed. But a long time ago, Young's literal translation translated a happy. Note that while I'm not going to teach on all of these, each phrase does start out with that word, Makarios. Obviously, this translation is an exception. What is amazing to me is that it is the exception. That with all of the new Bibles that are out there, with all of the things that are being translated, when I look in the scripture, I don't see this word Makarios being translated happy. I said earlier that the ancient Greeks had their way of looking at these things. In ancient Greek times, the Greeks themselves thought that the happiest, or the ones that they called the most happy, were the gods, because they were outside of the realm of the world and they didn't have any problems. And then they thought maybe another group that could be considered happy were those who were dead, because they no longer had to deal with the problems. And they had hopefully reached the world where the gods were. And then there was another group, the upper crust. And in Jesus' time, a lot of people thought that those who were the upper crust, those who were the leaders, they were happy because they had money and they were able to do things. And the unhappy people were all the poor people. So the rich were happy and the poor weren't. That was the way they thought of it. And when Jesus began to look at the crowd that was in front of him, made up not of rich people alone, but mainly poor people, and those who were in frail, and those who were in need of healing, and those who had all sorts of problems, who a lot of times that we thought, they thought in those days, the Pharisees, for example, thought in those days that if you were blind, you were probably born blind because you did something bad or your parents did something bad. Remember that scripture? So they assumed that if you had something wrong with you, you weren't loved by God because you were a sinner. They used to spit on the blind when they were walking through the street and curse them because they thought they had done something evil. And that's why they were blind. And they put stumbling blocks in front of them because it was entertainment. So Jesus is up there and he starts preaching to this multitude of people, most of whom are not blessed in the minds of those who think they are blessed. And the happy people, the rich people, didn't understand why he was telling all the poor people that they were blessed. I got news for you. Y'all, all of y'all are blessed. And all of y'all get to be happy. And it's not just if you have enough of this or enough of that or have this standing in society or that standing in society. God calls you blessed. God calls you happy. What do you call you? Wow. Yeah, exactly. If we seek to be blessed because of our righteousness, we probably won't really be successful. But if we seek to be blessed because we want to bless others, then we have something going for us. So suddenly Jesus was telling everybody they should be happy. Now, I personally believe happiness and unhappiness cannot be based in the same reality. Happiness is unavoidable in one reality and unattainable in another reality. So the question is, which reality are you living in? If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Maybe part of the reason I'm not happy sometimes is because I'm not dead enough. You know, this guy right here. Sometimes he's all about him instead of all about what God wants and all about the needs of others. And so I'm so focused on what's not happening for me the way I want it to happen for me that I don't have time to think about you because I got me to take care of. Ever hear someone say, get a life? I got one, but I had to die to get it. Yeah. So maybe if I'm not happy, maybe I need to ask myself if I'm focusing on the right thing. I'm not trying to get you to feel bad about yourselves. And if you haven't been happy, I'm not trying to get you to condemn yourself further, and nor do I condemn you. I'm trying to give you the equipment to get out of the sin and into the light. And I have trouble staying happy sometimes too. Didn't work out the way I thought it was going to, and I was all prepared. And then I have to look and see, where am I coming from? And how do I get rid of me? If Jesus is my life, and what I do to be happy is Jesus, then how can I avoid being happy? If I find my satisfaction in Christ, then I always, always, always have a reason to be happy. So even though a lot of things may not be going according to plan or according to what I think should be the plan, I have Jesus. If I can get my mind off of this and get my mind onto him, I can go from being down in the mully grubs to up in his presence. And I can change things. I've said this a lot of times, but when I learn to be content in everything, I can be happy doing anything. If I can just do what I'm doing as unto the Lord and I can see him smile, then it doesn't matter whether I'm washing feet or playing a new fancy guitar or driving a Prius, which I do, or driving a Maserati, which I don't. But I'm not sad. I'm happy going down the road in my Prius. And most of the time you see me in the car, you'll probably see me being happy unless I'm like thinking too hard. Do you remember a few years ago, I think it was 2012, we had this storm come through? The derecho, I think they called it, however they pronounced that. It was a straight line wind storm. I remember being in the house and hearing this tremendous wind come up, and I was sitting where I could see out the doors in the back of our living room area. There are doors that go out on the deck, and I looked out and I heard this wind, and I looked up, I was reading, and I looked up and I saw the neighbor tree coming right at our deck. And it was just short enough that only a few little top, you know, twigs hit our deck. And that straight line wind just, wow, went through our neighborhood. And then some of you remember it went through a big chunk of Ohio. Did any of you lose power during that straight line wind episode? Any of you remember that? For like a week. See, that was the thing. We didn't lose power in Defiance, but there were communities around here that lost power completely for like a week. And then, of all the crazy things, after that storm that just blew through, and I mean, it hit a bunch of areas in Ohio, and I don't know where else, after it blew through, it got really warm over the next few days. It hit 100 on at least two, I think, of the days after the power went out. So we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have refrigerators in some cases. And we're living in Defiance County or Paulding County or this part of Ohio. How many of you know somebody who gets their water from a pond? And there was no electricity. So they didn't have running water. They didn't have lights. They didn't have air conditioning, and they didn't have a refrigerator to keep their cold food, and they lost all their food. And you know what those people experienced? About what 3/4 of the rest of the world experience all the time. I think there's probably more water now running in 3/4 of the world than there used to be. But you know what I'm saying? There are places in the world where that's the way it is. They never have running water. It's always hot. They don't have refrigerators. For a few days, a lot of people weren't happy. They weren't happy. But if you can put it in perspective and realize there are other people with worse situations than you, you actually could be happy. You could be happy to know that it was going to come back on, and it did. Paul also says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. What? Paul? Are you nuts? Food and clothing? I gotta have a car. And it can't, I've got a lot of kids. It can't be a van. It's gotta be an SUV. How many remember when vans were cool? Yeah, not very long though. Only for a few minutes, and then vans got uncool. How many remembers when station wagons were cool, and then they were uncool? And then Dodge brought back the station wagon, and it was so cool. Now I don't know where do station wagons stand today? Are station wagons cool or not cool?
Demolition derbies.
Demolition derbies. Okay. There you go. Be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. We so easily forget that life without him isn't life at all, and that life with him is all we need. And when I can adjust my thinking, and it's work sometimes, I won't deny it. There are times, I should say, when I'm just not happy. Probably the place that I'm still working on it the most is sitting at the light with the person in front of me who's texting and the light's green. I'm like, And all this is based in fear rather than love. And that's the problem. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So sometimes when things go sideways, I just need to remind myself, I'm not separated from him. I'm not taking it with me. I don't have to be there by a certain time. I'm not in a hurry. I can be happy even if I'm late. I can be happy even if I don't have everything that everybody else has. In fact, I can be happy just by going out and making someone else happy. How about you? I want to give you two more verses. And didn't do context on these, but this is how it reads in 1 Timothy. And it's Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "That teaching is found in the gospel that was entrusted to me to announce the good news from the glorious and happy God." No, it says blessed in every translation I could find. I couldn't find a single translation that translated happy. But it's still Makarios. And then it goes on to say in chapter 6, "His appearing will be brought about at the right time by God, the happy and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." Do you know that God's happy? And I don't think God ever stops being happy. Somebody says, well, he gets angry. Yeah, but I don't think that changes the fact that he's happy. God looked down and saw what he had created, and he knew it was going to be a mess, but he still called it good. He knew that he gave us free will, and he knew we'd do some dumb stuff because of our free will, but he still called it good, and I think God was happy. Wow. And Paul calls him the happy God. I know it says blessed, but God's happy. Perhaps this illustrates something, by the way. The Western church, perhaps, has been a little bit too afraid to translate blessed into happy. Maybe our view of God is not seeing God as who God is. So sometimes when we Bethel-related churches say God is in a good mood, people think, well, you don't know God like I know God. And all I can say is, no, you don't know God like I know God. So we represent God. And as he is, so are we in this world. I want to be the person who goes out and reflects a God who loves everybody and who is happy. Does that mean God's happy about everything everybody does? No. But God's not unhappy in that he knows he has a plan. God's not unhappy in that he knows he's got a way to fix this. God's not unhappy because he knows he's not done yet. So God looks down, and I think he wants to make you happy. And he's looking for his opportunity. There's more in this chapter than I can cover this morning, or than I want to cover this morning, perhaps. I could keep you guys for a couple hours. That'd be okay? Maybe. But I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about what would happen if the people around you found you to be the happiest person they'd ever met. Do you think that if they saw you as the happiest person they'd ever met, they'd want to know why you were happy? Yeah, they would. And you know what you can tell them? I'm happy because Jesus is in my heart. I'm happy because heaven is my home. I'm happy because God's doing stuff right now on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you think heaven is the happiest place? What if heaven is the happiest place on earth? And we just need to usher people into it. That's what he's given us to do. And that's the challenge that I want to leave with you this morning. Don't allow yourself the luxury, which is a sin, of being unhappy. What am I saying? Well, what about mourning with those who mourn? I understand that. But do you know that he said, happy are those that mourn? You don't have to be unhappy when things need to be mourned over, when you know that God has resurrection power. And whatever is lost is not lost, because God's going to bring it back better than it was before. So I'm going to stay happy. And when I find myself unhappy, I'm not going to just enjoy it for a while or give myself permission to waller there. I'm going to say, Lord, give me my perception back so I can see how blessed I am. And I believe every time I do that, he will. So stay happy, my friends.